Shalom, and shalom again, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, best friend, news commentator, and avid Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Aw, how sweet. Bless you, dear.
You're welcome.
And a hearty shalom to all our listeners who actually love Israel, because we have a lot to say on that topic. But first, let's open tonight's program by exalting our Lord.
Amen. Abba, Father, we do exalt you and humbly bow down before your throne. For you are our only King and Lord over all. Please accept the many petitions from your servants who adore and agape only you. We ask for a discerning wisdom, the salvations of our loved ones, and a smooth path going forward in our journey to the real promised land. May tonight's program bring a smile to your countenance as we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Very nice prayer. Last week we spoke about the upcoming meeting between President Trump and Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. And now it appears it went rather well, in spite of Bibi's obstacles that I explained over the last couple of weeks. In fact, I wrote about it in our newsletter that just went out. And we will tell you in a minute how you can receive one if you don't already. I also listened to Bibi in two other interviews last week, and I was impressed at what I think is going on. And I'm going to share that right after you, dear, let any new listeners know how they can be a part of this ministry, because, you know, we really love hearing from you and appreciate your input.
Okay. You can comment on this program, request prayer, or send your end time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message and whether you would like a return call. And that number is 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are really needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. A vast amount of knowledge is right at your fingertips.
And remember, if you don't have a computer, all libraries do and will happily assist you.
Or now, even your cell phones have the internet.
Right. You can get our teaching, the webpage, on your phone without an internet hookup in your house because of all the towers around us, which is another topic concerning radiation bombardment and why we take iodine supplements, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's truly amazing how we have watched technology go through the roof, well, since our younger days, dear.
Yep, well, Daniel 12 says all knowledge will increase.
Amen. And that's biblical knowledge, too, as in the Holy Spirit shining his light on our Judaic Hebraic roots, which we discovered about 25 years ago and has really connected so many dots, especially in eschatology.
It surely has. I'm glad I encouraged you to do so. Okay, time to move on to a favorite topic of ours, because so much of what should be in our focus for the bride of Jesus is what's happening with Israel and how it pertains to the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27.
And the treaty we know will start Jacob's trouble. You know when they say peace and security, but not really, or at least not for very long. Especially if you read about the four horsemen of Revelation 6 that come out pretty quickly.
That's right. And I'm glad the bride will not be here to see that.
Amen again. So I'm going to just cut to the chase, because what I saw last week especially after Greta Van Susteren's interview, who, by the way, left Fox last year and is now on the liberal left channel, MSNBC, is that both Prime Minister Bibi and President Trump have given the Palestinians an ultimatum, which it seems to me, as I mentioned even last week before their meeting, that it could be possible that it will be backed by the moderate Sunni Arab nations.
Yeah, as in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt.
Oh, yeah, and even the Arab Emirates. And, of course, the immediate question is, why would they do that?
Come on. It's only one word, Iran.
That's right, their common enemy. And now that Iran is not abiding by Obama's foul deal, the moderate Arabs who hate the Iranian Shiites realize they need Israel's cooperation to go after Iran successfully. But before all that, Bibi and Trump want the moderate Arabs to push the Palestinians to agree with Israel's terms.
And that is what we, as the church, we could have been waiting for.
Oh, yeah, for a long time. Because we know that it could bring the rapture. You know, since the 1993 Oslo Accords, which were signed with Arafat.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people thought that was it.
I know, and I can remember the post-rapture people saying, see, we are going through the tribulation, but they were wrong. But perhaps the next signed agreement will be the one, because it says many will be involved. So, bottom line, we can hope and we can get excited about possibly going to our wedding. So it looks like the Palestinian leaders are going to just be told. Either they negotiate with a give-and-take attitude, and some will be painful, or they won't get any state. And as Trump said last week, that would be fine with them if it's only a one-state Israel solution.
Yeah, which raised a lot of eyebrows, because for the past 25 years, the U.S. and U.N.'s resolutions have always only embraced a two-state solution.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, with pressure from the Arabs for the Palestinians' compliance, a peace treaty might come together, and then they can move the embassy. They would probably then build a temple as part of the agreement to fulfill Revelation 11.
Yeah, right. It has to happen.
That's right. Anyhow, we can see some amazing developments happening. And don't forget, I always say, Hebrews 10:25.
Encourage each other as you see the day approaching.
And that's what we try to do here at Shofar Ministries. And we surely do love watching it all come together. But let me give you just a little bit of history. You can actually go way back to the 1930s, even when Great Britain established what was called the Peel Commission, which tried a solution to the conflict between Arabs and a small number of Jews then, which recommended a two-state solution way back then with a tiny, non-contiguous Jewish state alongside a large Arab state. Now, even back then, the Jewish leadership reluctantly accepted this sliver of a state. But the Palestinian leadership rejected the deal, saying, nope, they wanted there to be no Jewish state more than they wanted a state of their own.
Yep, all or nothing. And that's what we see, what we have seen all along, and why there has been no deal.
That's right. Of course, most of us are familiar with the 1947 agreement to partition an area for a Jewish state with another area for the Palestinians that was then established the next year, 1948.
When they were quickly attacked with the goal of annihilation.
But the Jews, with God's assistance, of course, stood their ground. Then again in 1967, when they learned of the Sunni attack that was coming from Egypt and Syria, and so they preempted it and won a great victory by not only holding their ground, but added the Golan Heights, the Gaza, the Sinai, and most importantly,
Jerusalem.
Right. But ever since the Muslims insist, it is occupied land, and they just want it all back. And because history repeats itself, it'll probably happen again after the next agreement is signed. But this time it could be with the Antichrist. You know, that rider on the white mobile horse of Revelation 6. And then a short time later, Jesus opens the second seal as described in Revelation 5:9. For then comes the rider on the red horse who takes peace from the earth. And you can read that in Revelation 6:4. So perhaps there's like maybe just a few months in between each rider.
And it's all in the book, and we will meet the author in person real soon.
Very possibly. But think about this. If you know that you're about to meet an author of a great book, in fact, any book by anyone, wouldn't you read it first?
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. Any more history you want to share?
Well, how about this? Yes. At the end of the year 2000 and again in 2008, and of course pushed by the United States, Israel made generous peace offers that would have established a demilitarized Palestinian state. But these offers, like before, were not accepted. And for the past several years, the Palestinian leadership just has refused to negotiate.
Yeah, so you know, President Trump's plans are pretty firm.
That's what it appears, especially because Israel is done handing them any more land on a silver platter, like Prime Minister Sharon did with the Gaza Strip in 2005, only to see it turned into a launching pad for terrorist rockets with hidden tunnels.
Which, you know, everyone suspected they would.
I guess so. But now it's a different era, thanks to our new administration, and hopefully David Friedman will be voted in soon as U.S. ambassador to Israel.
Yeah, I wonder why that's being held up. Oh, I know. He's very far to the right.
Yes, he surely is. And he's needed for this time.
Yeah, he is.
Israel must get something solid in return, namely real peace and a permanent end to the conflict. The Palestinian leadership has never negotiated in good faith. They haven't accepted the generous offers. They haven't even made realistic counterproposals. And now President Trump is telling them that they have to sit at the table. They are not going to get a state by going to the European Union or the International Criminal Court or even the United Nations, because Trump halted that last resolution, remember, 2334? By using his art of the deal.
Yes, good old Donald. Yeah, he just threatened to withhold funding if they pursued it, down to money.
Yep, pretty simple. So now the Palestinians will only get a state if they sit down and negotiate in good faith. And as we said, it looks like they will have other Arab countries to contend with if they don't. This is huge. The Obama administration applied pressure only to the Israeli side, not to the Palestinians. The time has come.
Yep, in the fullness of time.
Oh, amen. But if they do refuse, the status quo will continue as only one state, and that state will be Israel.
And they won't like it.
Mm-mm. So moving on, what's going on over here in America? Well, if you look at Matthew 24 and verse 7, where it says in the English that nation will rise against nation. But let me tell you, the Greek word for nation is ethnos, which means people, not necessarily an area of land. That's in the next sentence where it goes on to say kingdom against kingdom. And I immediately, of course, think of Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. But you need to see that the English word nation is just not the best word in this context. It should say people against people. Like in any civil war, as we see in Syria, it's Muslims against other Muslims. People against people. But I draw your attention to this because right now there is an organization called the OFA, which stands for Organizing for America, which is right now training anyone who wants to openly protest in any state come mid April and May, and who knows for how long after that, possibly all summer. And yes, these gangs are to be mostly funded through one of George Soros's many left-wing organizations. There is also written a guidebook and online training on how to organize against Trump and the conservatives like you and me. Many are calling it the American Spring. You know, you remember the Arab Spring? This is not good, people. And there are those who are on the other side like us who say, we need to stand up and fight against this. But this is the plan of the globalists, chaos and civil war. So parts of the manual concerning the part about town hall meetings, which is published with OFA partner called Indivisible, advises protesters to go into the halls quietly so as not to raise alarms. Grab the seats in front of the room, but do not sit all together. Rather, spread out in pairs to make it seem like the whole room opposes the Republican host's positions. This will help reinforce the impression of broad consensus. The manual urges them to ask hostile questions while keeping a firm hold on the mic and loudly boo the GOP politician if he isn't giving you real answers. It goes on to read that Republicans, they're just not that combatant, so they're going to be probably pretty alarmed. The OFA plans to stage 400 rallies across 42 states this year to attack Trump and Republicans over Obamacare's repeal. This could only get ugly, saints. Let's pray against this, for we don't fight flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. So put a spiritual bulwark around your own personal community and do it with authority. Now I'm going to finish tonight by answering a question that came in last week asking me to please give a quick overview of the known events beginning at the rapture till we return at the end of the tribulation. And that I should be able to do quite easily, so let's start. After chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, which is also the end of the church age, chapter 4 begins the last 1,000 years of time with the resurrection / rapture of his bride, as pictured with John being called up with the sound of the shofar or the trumpet, also called the shout or the awakening blast. And of course, Paul confirms this as well in 1 Thessalonians 4. This will most likely happen at the fall harvest, as confirmed by James in chapter 5. The Shavuot begins, or we know it better as the honeymoon. You know, Shavuot meaning 7, and in our case, 7 years. 7 is the number meaning complete, and we've talked about that before. But before our wedding ceremony, Jesus is crowned king and begins his kingship from heaven. Revelation 5, as he is given the scroll having the 7 seals, which when unsealed begins Jacob's trouble, as confirmed in Revelation 6. We then receive our rewards of crowns as written in the book of remembrance described in Malachi 3:16. Our rewards will also play a role in how and what we rule over in the millennial kingdom when we return with him, as described in Revelation 19. Now, after our rewards, we have our glorious wedding, and then we get to know him very well. Meanwhile, on earth, the tribulation is occurring, and from my studies and explained in the archives on our webpage, I believe begins on a Yom Kippur with the Antichrist signing an agreement with Israel and many others, like the United States and the Arabs and the international community. And it must be noted, as in Revelation 7, that the tribulation will not begin until 144,000 Israelites are saved and given a special anointing to preach with supernatural protection. They are now called the first fruits of that time frame, as confirmed in Revelation 14, because the bride is gone, and they are now the new missionaries they will all get saved at once. That's just the 144,000, not all of Israel yet. But God's going to put it in their hearts, these 144,000, and in fact is already preparing them. I have often wondered if they will have spiritual eyes and perhaps see us, the bride, go up like Elijah saw Elijah, who was given a double anointing then. You know, I take the study of types very seriously, and that just makes a lot of sense to me. Just saying. So the Jews from America will be fleeing to Israel due to something brewing over here. Not sure what, but Jeremiah 30:11 does say that the nations where the Jews were scattered will come to a complete end, which is why you must be telling your unsaved loved ones, when they notice the departure has happened that you've been preaching to them about, they better get on their knees quickly and repent and get saved so they can be included in the coming kingdom. Now, yes, they'll probably die physically, but they're still going to be there in the millennial kingdom if they truly mean it. So Revelation 14 says there are so many tribulation saints that John couldn't even guess at how many he saw. So please rejoice in that. In the first half of the tribulation, the war of Gog and Magog takes place. That's in Ezekiel 38. But God helps Israel, and it's then that they recognize their Savior. These are the rest of them now, and they get saved as a whole. Look at Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22 to confirm what I just said. Now, at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist declares himself God and demands worship. And that is the signal, remember Matthew 24:15, where they are to flee to the mountains down south. I believe God will give them wings like eagles, just like before when they fled Egypt, and will go to the same area where God totally takes care of them again, till Jesus comes and leads them into the land of Canaan. It's a great story. Everything's going back to the circle. Revelation 19 says, we will return with him on white horses, and he throws the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire. Then there is a separation of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25, where the righteous sheep enter into his kingdom. As we celebrate his human birthday, at our wedding supper at the Feast of Tabernacles. And what a glorious day that will be. How about you? Are you going to be there? If you're listening right now and you've never made him Lord over your life, know this. He laid his heart on the cross for you. He paid your debt for your sins. He stands at the door of your heart and is knocking right now. Just open it and he'll come in and have dinner with you and sup with you, and take up residence within you. I know you can hear him. He's knocking right now. But he's not going to crash in. It's your move, because he gives us free choices. So you can either be the beneficiary of this most magnificent love story ever told and written in blood on a wooden cross. But it's your move. Just do it. I just got through laying out all the things that are going to be happening. Tribulation's coming really soon. Don't take a chance that you're going to have to go through it. The Aaronic Blessing, number 6:22-27. Yivrecha ka Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav aleka v'yunecha, Yasei Adonai panav aleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our new president, the administration, and for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. And we know who brings peace. It's only Jesus, and that's what we all want. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.